Our study this morning is out of Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 to chapter 18, verse 2. Where Proverbs 10:1 to 15:33 contrasts wise, upright lives with foolish, wicked ones, Proverbs 16:1 to 22:16 focuses mainly on the upright life, and it guides us on how we live righteously in many realms of experience. As we've said before, what Solomon was seeking to do in Proverbs 10:1 to 15:33 is to sell us on the righteous life versus the sinful life. And then in Proverbs 16:1 to 22:16, he talks about, okay, now how do you live that righteous life? Let's make the rubber meet the road. So I think in a church like this, where the vast majority of people who attend it are people who are already committed to wanting righteousness, they just want to know how. This section probably has more application to us than another one. So we view each proverb in this section to draw out its deeper insight that Proverbs 1, 5 to 6 implies exists. Proverbs 1, 5 and 6 indicates that even a wise person will still be able to learn from Proverbs. The Proverbs that Solomon wrote were designed to be very deep, so that there's truth on the surface, but the more you get into it and the deeper you go, you see the wider and the more fulfilled the application. So we're supposed to utilize these Proverbs and think on them and dwell on them. Let's pray and we'll get into the Word. Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your Word and for your oversight of our hearts and our lives. We thank you for the privilege of being able to gather this morning to discuss the Word of God. We pray for wisdom to understand it, to use it, to apply it, that we might indeed grow in righteousness and grow in grace in the knowledge of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I'll read the verses and then we'll look at them. Proverbs chapter 17, beginning at verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. A wicked man takes a bribe in the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. Wisdom is before him who has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bore him. Also to punish the just is not good, nor to strike princes for equity. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise, and he that shuts his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. That verse has to be dramatically translated, retranslated, because it just doesn't get the point at all. Verse 2, a fool has no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. That one also needs some work on. Okay, well, we're going to look at these. I'm taking the liberty to retranslate them from the Hebrew text. And I believe it provides greater insight as to what's going on. Proverbs 17:22 teaches that a merry, or a happy, or a joyful heart. Samiha is a word that is often used at a party, or at a feast, a celebration where you're rejoicing, you're full of laughter and smiling. It's where your emotions are up. So a merry heart makes good, yatab. We have the word tav or tov, from which you get the word good or wholesomeness. Yatab is the verbal form. Makes good, and it's a causative, a cure or a healing. So a heart that is merry actually creates cure and healing, but a smitten or a scourged nache spirit makes dry and yabesh the bones. Now in the context, what he's talking about is a heart that is merry versus a heart that has been smitten or scourged. The heart that is smitten or scourged is a heart that has been abused. And the context is dealing with having faced abuse from another person. It could be verbal abuse. Most of the time, if it's affecting your inner man, there's verbal abuse. But also, physical abuse can produce this as well. So the inner man has to be nurtured and not abused for one's general health. There's an excellent proverb that backs this up in Proverbs 4. And it actually makes a clearer sense. Proverbs 4:23, keep or preserve your heart, That is, preserve your inner man with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If you can't keep the inner man happy, if you can't keep the inner man at peace and nurtured, you don't have anything to give. You can't work at a job well. You can't work at home well. You can't carry a relationship on with a family or marriage well if the heart is crushed. So it's incredibly important to preserve that inner man. And the same goes when we relate to other people. We can do a tremendous amount of damage to other people verbally, or of course physical abuse as well, but we can abuse people and if we're not careful, so we have to be very, very careful to do what we can to nurture and to encourage one another. Proverbs 17:23 claims that an evil man takes or accepts a bribe in the bosom, and the word in the bosom means in secret. To pervert, thrust aside the paths of justice. When a person takes a bribe illegally and he does it in private, what he does in private actually affects society in general. Because what happens when you do something in private, you're interacting with another person who's giving the bribe. That's also augmenting his tendency to want to bribe, and so the bribe spreads out. It's amazing how a little action that we do affects whole society. I've noticed sometimes when you go through the grocery line, you come up to the cashier, it's near the end of her day, generally, it's women who are working as cashiers, and she's been chewed out by customer after customer because something isn't right in the store, and she's just about fit to be tied. If you show just a little bit of kindness and consideration, not in a patristic way, but, you know, patronizing way, I mean, but if you just, you know, show her some decency and everything, sometimes that gives her a huge lift so that she can go through that day and sometimes even through the next shift on the next day. So there are ripple effects of every little tiny thing that we do, and those ripple effects affect all of society, and it compounds itself. So the best thing that we need to do is to manage ourselves in regards to how we relate to others and make sure that we do that which is righteous. I think it was the evangelist Charles Finney, who was incidentally born in Connecticut, who said, if you want a revival, you go into your closet, you draw a chalk mark around your feet, and you pray like crazy for everything inside the chalk mark. And I think there's a lot of truth in regards to that. He was very Arminian in his beliefs. Finney was, and I wouldn't agree with that, but I agree with that. We have to start with number one, with ourselves. Proverbs 17:24 asserts that one with understanding, the word being is actually the word to discern between things, or the one with understanding is close by the face or is focused on wisdom. But the eyes of the dull, closed-minded are focused on the ends, bakesh, of the earth. The Beth essentiate with a kaseh, which means it's focused upon the ends of the earth. Understanding people are focused on wisdom, where dull, closed-minded people indiscriminately look to everything that the world offers for insight to their eventual failure. One of the marks of a very wise person is what he knows what not to pay attention to. He's discriminatory. This is just the opposite of what you're taught in the secular university. In the secular university, you're taught you have to be open-minded. You have to accept all the views or somehow incorporate all the views. The Bible says, no, because some of those views are very bad for you. Some of them are very wrong. So a wise person is discriminating. He's focusing on what is wisdom, what is right. And he learns how to shift out all that stuff which is bad, because there's a lot of information that's available. You get a lot of advice from all sorts of sources. So we have to learn to what to weed out. And that's very important. This is interesting. There are several proverbs that we're covering. In fact, there are five proverbs in this section we're covering this morning that deal with self-management. I firmly believe that one of the greatest needs in society today is self-management. Self-management of what we think, what we focus on, how we feel, how we express our emotions. We've got to manage that, because if we allow ourselves to be vulnerable to everything that's around us, it'll wear us out and ruin us. We need to learn to manage ourselves. Manage ourselves in regards to money. I was listening to Dave Ramsey, incidentally, has a radio show in the afternoon now. And he pointed out a very interesting statistic that when people use plastic, in other words, when they use credit cards, they tend to spend 46% more than if they use cash. So he recommends always use cash. And it, you know, I can understand where he's coming from. My wife and I use credit cards, but when we use credit cards, every time we have an expenditure, we deduct it out of the budget and we put it into a holding bin. So it's just as though it's the same thing as spending cash. So to us, whether we're spending cash or using the credit card, it doesn't make any difference. And then we pay that off as the statement comes in. So there's no balance that's carried, there's no interest. That helps preserve the credit rating in case we would ever get into trouble. But the point is, a lot of people, when they're using the plastic, they're not keeping a record of it until all of a sudden, here comes the bill, $1,875. I think, where am I going to get the money for that? So, oh, it's the minimum. Well, we can pay the minimum, $35. And so they start paying the minimum. Pretty soon, they max out the card, and they can't hardly even afford the minimum, and then they get into trouble. So management is very, very important. Management of our money, our resources, our minds, our emotions, the way we think, very, very important. Because we're not all Renaissance men. We don't have a limitless supply of energy or resources. We're limited people, and the sooner we learn that, the better. Proverbs 17, verse 25 teaches that a dull, closed-minded son is a vexation to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. So we need to stay teachable, because if we're not teachable, it affects the relationships that we have even with our parents who love us. And that we can actually hurt our parents. We can actually become a burden to our parents. And the Bible indicates that what we should be doing is honoring our parents. So if we honor our parents, we'll be teachable. Once we stop being teachable, it has tremendous negative ripple effects on our family, including our parents. Something to keep in mind. Proverbs 17:26 claims, yea, or you can also translate it surely. It's the Hebrew word gum. Surely it is not wholesome. And the word wholesome is tov that is used in Genesis 1:31 in God's wholesome universe. So surely it is not wholesome to fine a righteous man, nor to smite, or that would be to flog, the noble in mind and character, naviv, for their uprightness. Wrongly punishing the upright who undergirds society's institutions actually harms society in general. When there is a person who is upright, that person has an impact, a sizable positive impact on society. Unjustly harming that person, unjustly punishing that person, actually undermines the welfare of all society. You can apply this not only society in general, you can apply it like within a church. If we were to punish wrongly a person who was upright, it would actually harm the welfare of our entire body. I heard of a church in the area that got into difficulty, and it wrongly went after and wrongly attacked one of its leaders, and it actually caused the church to implode. Because this leader was a very positive effect and had a great, very positive effect on the church. And by going after this particular individual, all they did was hurt the entire body. So it's very important. Same thing goes for a business, society in general. We've got to be very, very careful to be considerate of people and to think and to protect those who are upright in their righteousness. Proverbs 17:27 asserts that he who restrains his words knows knowledge or discernment, and he who is cool of temperament, cool of spirit, is a nobleman of understanding, tabuna. So here again, self-restraint in word and attitude is the mark of an understanding person of noble character, so we must strive for self-restraint in such realms. This is so important, restraining our spirit. Sometimes we have a tendency to get so depressed or too depressed to the point where we can do a lot of damage. Or we can get too high. We're talking about the obsessive compulsive or the manic depressive personality, person who's either way up or way down. Either way, it does a lot of damage. One of the qualities of maturity is that the person levels out when it comes to his emotions. levels out when it comes to his expectations of himself or expectations of other people. There's a moderation that is there. I was talking with Kathy Brunetti. We had family support group yesterday. And Kathy, as you know, works in counseling situations. She works for the state. And she says, and she agreed with me when I said, I made a statement that I believe in the future the church is going to play much more of an important role than it has in the past, just in society in general, because there's so much dysfunction in family and marital life in our communities that when people come to the church, they actually need structure. She said, I believe you're exactly right. In fact, our secular authorities tell us that we're at the point where we're beginning to recognize that people need to go to church. Why? Because church, regardless of whether they believe in God or not, church provides stability, it provides structure that just often doesn't exist at all in family life and marital life. So she said, some of these secular counselors are recommending almost any church because at least there's some structure that's there. So I think all the more important for us who know the Lord, who are teaching the truth, who are seeking to live the truth, to make sure that we're balanced in our attitudes, balanced in our spirit, our approach, because people who are coming into our church need that. They need a leveling off, keeping them out of deep depression, keeping them out of being excessively way high that ends up in hurting themselves. I remember when I was a chaplain at Baylor Medical Center, we were in the psych ward. I'd go in there to hold meetings once in a while. And you'd be amazed at how many people there were there, especially from charismatic backgrounds, because they had gotten so high emotionally, they crashed. They couldn't sustain that high emotional fervor for an extended period of time, out of balance. I ran into that a lot. So we need to restrain and keep ourselves cool in temperament, moderate. Now, Proverbs 17:28 teaches that yes, or even, that's the Hebrew word gam again, an arrogant, flippant man who keeps himself silent is regarded as wise. Shutting his speech or stopping his speech, he is considered discerning. So restraining one's words and attitude also benefits one's own self because it benefits how other people view us. Once again, restraint, management of self, so important. Managing. Managing our emotions, managing our money, managing our feelings, managing what we do with our minds, what we allow ourselves to be exposed to by way of teaching, very important. Proverbs 18:1 claims that he who separates himself seeks his own selfish desire. He breaks out in contention against all sound wisdom. Those who habitually separate from others are selfish and contentious, where the wise habitually try to be cooperative. Now, this doesn't mean that it's ever wrong to pull yourself back. The Bible does talk about separation from ungodly brethren. The Bible does talk about separation from apostates. But what we're talking about is a person who's always separating himself from everybody and just almost seemingly picking a fight. That's not what a righteous person does. A righteous person does what the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. That's why I put the verse there. Paul wrote in Romans 12:18 that if it be possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. One of the qualities that a Christian should really have is that he seeks to be cooperative. He seeks to get along. Seeks to get along with the police. Seeks to get along with his neighbor. He seeks to get along with fellow Christians, his family, extended family, and so forth. Now, there are times when it's impossible because the Bible does tell us that we are supposed to shrink back from abusive people. But that should occur only if we have sought to be cooperative and to get along. But people who are just constantly in the mode of just pulling themselves back, seemingly for unreasonable things, they're actually selfish. And selfishness breeds this contention, so we have to watch out for that. And Proverbs 18:2 asserts that a dull, closed-minded man does not delight in understanding, that his heart may reveal itself, but only that his heart may reveal itself. and it's a hithpale intensive reflexive. So people who delight only to air their own opinions are not wise versus those who are teachable. I'll never forget, there was a crime that we had back here where the shed behind our church was burned. And the local, the resident state trooper, that's what he was, from New Hartford, he met me and he says, "It's good finally to meet. I've heard a lot about you," and I heard a lot about him too. And he was telling me what had happened, and then I had shared what the neighbor had told me. And he says, "Okay, continue that," because he says, "I'm supposed to listen to all the input." So I said, "Well, the neighbor told me, et cetera, that there was a car that had gone through twice, not once. He heard that it had gone through once. The neighbor told me twice." And he said, "He's next door." I said, "Yeah, he may not be home now," but he wanted to know what time approximately he'd be home. So I told him. But here he was. He was a trained patrol officer, and he had heard a different slant of the story than what he'd heard from several sources, and he wanted to track it down. Because, you know, that was very important as to whether or not they were going to press charges on a person or not in regards to this whole issue. They had a feeling, they knew who had done the deed, because there was a person who was very typically involved in starting fires. And they, one thing about these resident state troopers, they know everybody in the community. And if there's a certain crime that has occurred, they have an 80% idea immediately who it was because of the nature of the crime. That's the way they are. And that's why it's good to have a resident state trooper. He knows the people well, and he can help keep peace in the area. But people who delight only in airing their own opinions are not wise. This officer was very concerned about listening to what I'd given him so he could listen to what my neighbor, Mr. Stanwyck, had said so that he could piece things together. He wanted to make sure that he had the facts straight, or as straight as he could concur, get them from eyewitnesses or those who had overheard things before he proceeded any further. We need to be that way as well. A wise person will pay attention to what's going on around him, not just air his own opinions. Pay attention, because there may be something that he's missed. One of the qualities, and this keeps popping up in the Proverbs, one of the qualities of a wise person is that he recognizes that he doesn't know everything. He has blind spots. He knows that. He acknowledges that fact. So he's always teachable, trying to cover and trying to find out what he doesn't know so that he can patch up all the holes in his understanding. That's very good. We need to do that. We need to be that way. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on something that we've covered here.